All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today, I am joined by Robbie Falk from On3. Robbie, how are you?
Doing good, man. Just trying to survive the summer, which just started. I don't know how we're gonna make it through the next 2 months, but we've seen worse, like COVID.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know if getting COVID flashbacks every summer is quite right, but it's definitely like the comparison I made in the office is when we go out and do like summer high school basketball coverage, just to like kind of check in with teams. It's like to me when parents send their kids out to go swim in the pool or whatever all day, and then to wear them out, and then so that they come back and tired and just go to bed really easily. We gotta do something to expend all of our energy and not just sit around the office being annoying. So
Exactly. And for me, this is we're about to get into probably like covering Little League baseball and stuff like that. I mean, you just find whatever you can get in the summertime.
it's amazing how quickly you can go from, state softball going on a run and, college baseball off or postseason starting up to just all of a sudden it's all over. And then you're like, it's early June. What do I do?
And again, I think back to that 2020 COVID disaster. Like, what that started in March, I think, March or April. And from March until late August, we had to write about something every day. And when there was no sports going on, I don't know how any of us survived that, especially the newspaper industry. It was insane. But I'm happy to go cover a Little League baseball game now.
But so good news for us is that state at least gave us something to talk about for, I don't know, a week maybe, with the Brian O'Connor hire for baseball. What surprised me was not necessarily the hire itself, but how big of a deal it is. Like, I don't really know how many other schools would have a big giant event with like pyrotechnics and all that for the hire of their new baseball coach, but that seems to be how they roll in Starkville.
Yeah, it kind of told you a little bit about where this fan base is when it comes to baseball. I mean, they love baseball, and this is the extravagant like celebration for a coach. Certainly, is like the Zach Selman thing, I believe, because they had the big celebration for Jeff Lebby over there at the football complex, where they had fireworks and a big giant stage and screens and all that stuff. That was the first I had seen of something like that at Mississippi State. When Chris Lemonis was hired in 2018, we went out to the Wright Field Plaza and we had a press conference pretty much, and that was that. There was maybe a couple hundred people with that. This they really wanted to blow up, and I think there was probably a couple thousand at this. And I think it was just everybody really excited about the fact that you hired probably, from a resume standpoint, the best coach you've ever hired in a sport. When you look at what Brian O'Connor has done at Virginia, and you start talking about what he's accomplished at a school that had never accomplished anything in baseball, from a resume perspective and what he's done, no one has ever done that has been brought in as a head coach at Mississippi State. National championship, 7 College World Series, 18 NCAA tournaments out of 21 tries, over 100 MLB draft picks. The guy has been one of the most accomplished coaches in college baseball history, and he's coming up on 1,000 wins. So I think people have just been tired of the mundane and tired of the average or below average seasons that they've been getting in baseball. And you went out and you hired one of the best coaches in the game. I think people were finally getting back all in baseball at Mississippi State, and you got a glimpse at what it kind of looks like when things are going well with Mississippi State baseball.
That was my like big takeaway was it seems like the whole program just got a huge kick in the pants. I don't know if it's just because of general dissatisfaction with the baseball program or Mississippi State athletics as a whole. But it seemed to me like urgency was like the big thing that I got out of that was we want to win now and we're going to do everything we can to do that because I wasn't really expecting Mississippi State to have the second highest paid college baseball coach. But that's how it is now. That is the world that we live in right now.
Yep, it's kind of like who can throw the most money out and be the most impressive in their spending. And that's, I mean, State, I think they had to do that to get Brian O'Connor. Texas A&M has come after him, LSU's come after him, other schools have been after him over the years, and he's turned them down to stay at Virginia. And that's a place that he built from the ground up. He came in as a pitching coach, and just changed the entire trajectory of that school's baseball program, and he made them a national name in college baseball, and it turned down a lot of schools over the years. And this time, he just felt like the time was right, but State was going to have to spend money to get him, and $2.9 million is what he's about to make per year, which is second only to Tony Vitello at Tennessee, which is what Tennessee has to pay to keep him there, because there's been schools that have come after him. And Tennessee's kind of the same way. They had not really accomplished anything prior to Tony Vitello. And to keep good coaches and to continue to move your program forward, you're going to have to spend some money. And I think Zach Selman just decided we're going to spend some money, and hopefully in the end we can start really kind of churning some money back through this program, because there's some things within the program that can elevate it a little bit more from a financial standpoint. Right now it's losing money. I think whenever they eventually pay off the stadium, which is it should be pretty close, you can start to kind of move towards generating some revenue out of baseball because of the fan support that you get. And with that, I expect prices to go up. The supply and demand at baseball is extremely high. It's been a very, for the most part, it's been kind of a bargain ticket for State fans over the years. When you look at baseball, the people that have been grandfathered in with the baseball tickets, the left field lounge, it's a pretty good price considering the real estate and the product that Mississippi State has had and won a national championship in 2021. I expect those prices to go up because the supply and demand is going to be pretty high for Mississippi State. And you look at the coach that you just hired too, they're going to have to spend some money. So we'll see what happens with it. But I think Mississippi State just felt like we have a product that can compete with anybody nationally. We have a very cool stadium, a very cool experience for fans from around the country whenever you come in and you watch a college baseball game. Why not go all in on it and try to be the best that you can possibly be at it? Because this is, to me, the one sport that I feel like Mississippi State is right now in position to be one of the best programs in the country. I can't say that about any other sport. Basketball is competing at a pretty high level, so top 25 team. Women's basketball has been pretty consistent for the most part. Football is never going to be that. I think that you can kind of keep your head above water in football and you can have some good years, but it's never going to be an elite program. Baseball has all the makings of being elite. It has all the makings of being one of the best programs in the country. And I think Mississippi State decided, instead of kind of pulling back from that and trying to kind of keep up with the Joneses and some of the other sports, which I'm not saying they're going to take away from those sports, but instead of pulling away from that and pushing those resources elsewhere, why not try to be as good as we can be at this and also compete at those other sports too? So that's what they decided to do. So I give a hat tip to Zach Selman. He's raising funds and everything, but they've especially decided that they're going to compete at a very high level in baseball.
Yeah, I know I've seen some people say, well, just basically tank the football team because we can't win in that and save the money for the stuff that we can win at. But I
And
mean,
that's ridiculous.
a football is where the money comes in. Like the amount of money you make in football, even last year, as miserable as it was, I'm sure the amount of money that they made through football just dwarfs everything else. But there is a difference between that and it seems like they're finding the right balance of we're not, going to tank football or men's basketball, but we can leverage more resources toward baseball.
Yeah, and a lot of it's fundraising. A lot of it is Zach Selman calling out to fans and telling them to help out here, because in football they're going to have their percentage of revenue share, and I don't expect baseball to be up there with football as far as revenue share is concerned. But yeah, you can fundraise, make some fundraising efforts to put money in place for baseball to be successful too. So I don't expect the university to allocate a lot more resources to baseball, but what they're doing is they're just going out and they're finding more crowdsourcing and fundraising, finding more money to push towards baseball to make sure they have an elite team, an elite coach, and an elite product.
Yeah, so why do you think that is there something that was just really enticing about the state job for Brian O'Connor? Was it getting tired of, maybe not necessarily having the same amount of resources at UVA? Like, was it trying to leave while his stock was still high despite a pretty down year? Like, why do you think he's leaving now, and why state?
I think it's just the resources part of it. I think, like I said, I think that Virginia was going to, I think Virginia was going to be competitive within their league, but nationally, it was going to get tougher and tougher for them to be able to bring in the talent that they want to bring in to be able to compete. And, Brian O'Connor is having to raise funds for that baseball program to be able to compete the way that they wanted to. And at Mississippi State, he doesn't have to do that. It's kind of a self-sustaining thing. The support is there, the fan support's there, the money is there. He's going to make more money. It totally, to me, boiled down to resources and the ceiling. The ceiling at Mississippi State is elevated compared to what it is at Virginia. Now you look at the grand scheme of things, Mississippi State's won one national title. Brian O'Connor's won one national title. Both have been to two national championship series. So the results from the highest of levels are the same, but the two programs are not on the same level when you talk about buy-in from the fan base and resources and things like that. So I think what Brian O'Connor is looking at is, I've done this at Virginia. I've had the same amount of results as Mississippi State's program from the highest level as far as national championships. But what could I do at a place that has those resources, that's going to be self-sustainable, that I don't have to work as much? And I'm not saying he's looking for less work, but he can focus his efforts on other things and not so much on a lot of the things he was having to focus on at Virginia. So I think that it just boiled down to the fact that he believes that he can win more and win bigger at Mississippi State than what he did at Virginia.
Yeah, and then it seems like he's also taking a fair amount from Virginia with him. I'm not sure what all else is left at Virginia right now. But I mean, grabs a couple outfielders and a pitcher from Virginia, grabs his longtime associate head coach. I don't know, what do you think of the sort of talent infusion already?
Yeah, he pulled essentially his whole staff. He didn't bring his pitching coach Dave Dickinson, but he basically took his entire staff from Virginia, and he's already pulled in, I think, three starters, three or four starters, three regular starters, and then another guy that started a good bit, a weekend starter on the mound. He's definitely. And I'm not saying that he's going out and pluck those guys. Like he said in his press conference, it's their decision whether they want to come here or not. They entered the portal. He didn't tell them to enter the portal. He didn't force them to come to Mississippi State. They wanted to come follow him. And it's unfortunate for Virginia, but that's just the nature of it when a coach leaves in this era of sports. It's just very difficult to keep the whole thing together and running. And they've lost over 20 guys, I think, off that roster. Most of their team's gone. But at the end of the day, I mean, those guys were there in large part thanks to Brian O'Connor. you just don't see a lot of guys commit to a school, especially in this day and age. I mean, the coach has a lot to do with it. So I think that that's just a natural thing that you're going to see some interest in this day and age in college athletics with the transfer portals wide open. You're going to see some interest from your previous school, and we've already seen that. And I expect there to be a guy or two that could also join that hadn't joined the team yet out of Virginia. But I really like the guys that he's already gotten on board. I really like his staff. Kevin McMullen, to me, is one of the top assistants in college baseball. Could be a head coach. He's been very loyal to Brian O'Connor. He's been really good at what he does as a hitting coach and associate head coach. Matt Kirby, who's been with him forever, helps with hitting as well, and his recruiting coordinator. His staff's really good. It's one of the best staffs in the country. He believes in them. He wanted them to be a part of this. I'm very interested to see what this group does with the resources that Mississippi State has.
Yeah, and speaking of the staff, I thought one of the more interesting developments is keeping Justin Parker as the pitching coach, because there was like that little bit like right after State got eliminated, he talked about how he wasn't really happy with the way the whole I guess process was handled, and it was a bit of a distraction for him. And it's just interesting because it's nice to I guess know that there were no like hard feelings. So I was kind of surprised after that whole thing that he's sticking around, but also I'm also starting to think that maybe you don't see the same kind of roster instability that you usually see with coaching firings, because I think guys have a certain level of attachment to their position coaches, regardless of sport. So it's interesting to keep a familiar face around.
Yeah, I think that was the right move by Brian O'Connor. You keep Justin Parker, who's a good pitching coach, really good pitching coach, and at the same time, you're able to kind of nail down some guys that could have very easily entered the transfer portal. You lost Luke Dotson, who was kind of a key piece out of the bullpen, but you kept pretty much everybody else at this point. There hasn't been anybody enter that is really upsetting, and I think Justin Parker is the reason for that. You kept really talented young freshman pitchers and Dane Burns, Ryan McPherson, and Charlie Foster. Ben Davis decided to come back for another season as well. So the core of your pitching staff that has a chance to return looks like it's going to return. And on top of that, you added, one of Virginia's top pitchers who's going to be a weekend rotation guy. You're still after several others. It looks like you're building a really good staff here. And, Justin Parker, I thought the last 2 years has done a really good job. 2024 was exceptional, taking over quite possibly the worst pitching staff in Mississippi State history and going from a 7-run earned run average down to a 4+ earned run average. It was top 15 in the country, one of the top strikeout teams in the country. He put three guys in the top 4 rounds of the MLB draft. So Justin Parker has kind of proven himself. He wanted to be here. He wanted to stay. I thought this was the best decision possible. And I think he's going to be a really good fit with Brian O'Connor. I think from a stylistic standpoint, from a personality standpoint, those two I think will be a really, really good fit. Both very professional, very analytical in a lot of ways, fundamental. I think it's a perfect fit for Mississippi State. I think the staff as a whole is just really solid top to bottom. But this is a guy that, you had an opportunity, I think, to go get Corey Mascara from Wake Forest, who's a hot name in coaching circles. He's been really good in the transfer portal. Would have been a really good hire for State. But I just don't think from a results standpoint, there's that much difference between those two. You look at the numbers, there's really not a big difference between Justin Parker and Corey Mascara. I just felt like this was probably the right decision. And it's kind of a 1A, 1B thing for me. If you got Mascara or Parker, you can't really lose. Getting the guy that's got the familiarity here, that's got the connections within Mississippi State baseball, I think that was just a no-brainer at the end of the day.
Yeah, and then just kind of like the one of the last things I wanted to hit on was, the MLB draft is coming up, and seemingly the only person on MLB.com's like 200-man board is Pico Cone. But I mean, I know, just off the top of my head, Landon Harmon, the high school signee for State, is pretty high up there as well. Is there anything you're keeping an eye on with the draft in terms of next year's team?
You got three high school guys that you're definitely watching, and Landon Harmon, and then the Parker brothers, Jacob and JoJo from Purvis. Those three are obvious draft risk. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, obviously, you're keeping Justin Parker, so Landon Harmon has that familiarity of the coaching staff. Obviously, he grew up a big State guy, so, his loyalty to Mississippi State is strong anyway. But it helps having Justin Parker in place there just in case there is some hang-ups in the money or something like that. I feel like, State would be an option for him. But I'm hearing Landon Harmon and the Parker brothers are going to be very difficult to get to school. But, having the NIL that State does, having the coaches in place that it does, it is an intriguing option for those players who do love Mississippi State and would like to play at Mississippi State. It's just a matter of, is the money going to be right for them? I don't know what their prices are, and kind of their value, what they feel like they're valued at right now. But I do think that as we sit here today, that those three are probably likely going pro, but that's something we'll monitor for sure. Pico, I expect to go pro as well, and then we'll watch some of the other guys. When you look at the older players, draft eligible players, some of them just want to go. We've seen that before where guys just go, they'll sign for peanuts, and they're good with that. So it's not it's a the MLB draft is a very complicated deal. It's one of those deals we have to explain the rules and the unwritten rules and things like that to people every year because it is very complicated. There's no blueprint. It differs from player to player. It differs from team to team. How much does one team have in their pool? How much money do they have left to pay a player? The general consensus is if a player gets drafted in the top 10 rounds, he's going to sign because the team is not going to sign that player and take the signing bonus hit. So that's usually my thing that I tell people is if you see them come off the board in the top 10 rounds, they're probably gone. After that, it gets a lot more hairy. You don't really know, if the player's going to sign or not. We see players sign all the time in the top in the next 10 rounds that end up don't going to pro baseball. So it's a very complicated thing. You don't really feel safe about it until the player comes out and announces one way or the other. But that's just kind of where I'm at right now. I would say four guys with Mississippi State ties, I feel for sure, are probably going. The three signees and Pico. And then after that, we'll watch and see.
I do appreciate that it seems like it's later in the year now. It's not until July, because I remember there were times where like guys would get drafted like in the middle of like Super Regionals or the College World Series or whatever, and I'm just like, that seems a little messed
Very
up. Like
distracting.
let these guys just focus on finishing out at school first. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, just general thoughts on how State's going to look next year on the diamond.
I think it's going to be a really competitive roster. I mean, as we sit here right now, it's a top 25 team, and that can go up or down depending on the draft or whatever, with whatever they bring in here in the next few weeks. I mean, they have the potential. I think with some of the names that have been thrown out, if they are able to bring those guys to campus, they have the potential to be a top 10 team preseason. And I think that's where you should set your expectations if you're a Mississippi State fan. Because they're building things pretty quickly from a roster standpoint, and you have an elite coach in tow now. Mississippi State fans, their expectations should be through the roof for this team, and if they're not reaching those, then they're failing. You're putting the money in. You went and hired a great coach with a great staff, and he's bringing in great players. Mississippi State should not be content with going on the road for regionals or missing the regionals. They should be hosting regionals at Dudley Noble Field almost every season.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole point of having that really unique home field advantage, right? Granted, this year that didn't seem to matter, but that's just baseball to me, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, you never really know what's going to happen. It's you have a Murray State team that I think was batting under 280 in conference play, and now they're, knocking the cover off the ball and they're going to Omaha. I mean, baseball is just a very interesting sport, and you try to do your best to put your team in the best position, and then the chips fall from there.
That's why my expectations are always just make it to the playoffs and see
See
what
what
happens
happens.
from there because yeah, it is a hard road to travel after that. But anyway, Robbie, is there anything that you want to plug right now?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Robbie Falk on three. We have the Thunder and Lightning podcast that airs 5 days a week. Anywhere you get podcasts, it's all Mississippi State sports, myself and Brian Haydab. And then Maroon and White Daily is our network that you can come check out. Myself and Paul Jones, we've had a huge influx of new subscribers, and really proud of that over this coaching search and the work that we did on this. And I think people are really excited to come join us over there. So you can come join us as well. $1, I think, for the first week if you come join today. So come check us out.
I was about to say, coaching searches and coaching hires and all the good PR that comes out of it must be great for subs.
It's really good for business. It really is. People love a good old coaching search. I've always said that you need to either be great or really bad with your teams on a fan site. You need your teams to be really, really good or really, really bad. Anything in between makes people just kind of fall off the ladder a little bit. So, luckily we have a coaching search. We had football last year. We have baseball, all while Paul Jones and I are trying to establish our website. So it's been good for us for sure.
But yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. You can follow the journal at djournalsports.com. You can see all of our Ole Miss and Mississippi State coverage at djournal.com. Robbie, thanks so much for your time. I always appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Anytime.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening and have a good one.